God. Hello there. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503. Are you happy now? You've driven me to other floors.
That was the saddest thing.
No, I'm not even going to use this bathroom anymore. Fine. The hell with all of it.
We'll show that bathroom.
I actually went to the third, or no, whatever. What the hell floor are we on? Three?
I think...
That's the thing where we seem like we're on two. Anyway, I went to a different floor, so screw all of you. It's 503-73, except for Tim. Tim took no part in that hideous charade.
I don't have bodily functions. I'm just a newsman.
It's 503-733-2970, ladies and gentlemen. He's your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. He's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A 12-year-old Pennsylvania student has been charged with disorderly conduct after authorities say she deliberately wet her pants at school. Her mother told the AP it happened because her daughter was frightened of the principal. The girl had been preparing a holiday lunch with her classmates and teachers on December 20th. Her mother said when her daughter refused to go to the kitchen to wash some pots and pans, teachers summoned the principal who confronted the girl. Then she wet her pants.
I don't understand. It was either because she was frightened or it was intentional. A kid doesn't seem like it could really be both.
Apparently she was terrified of Principal Duckwork. That's his name. D-U-C-K-W-O-R-K.
Oh.
Principal Duckwork.
The principal's ductwork.
And has wet herself during previous confrontations with Principal Duckwork. But Danville Police Chief, even the Chief of Police, has gotten in on this, said the school officials are at wit's end with the girl, and they believe her actions were deliberate.
They're at wit's end? No, there's a joke there, but I don't know what it is. Well, look, we all, since we seem to have fallen into some sort of a...
Well, it seems to be today's theme. It's kind of an Oprah would do something like this, wouldn't she?
I'm not even going to read all the emails where the subject line was, Rick, you're in trouble now. wait, no, I see, because you're in trouble now. All right. No, the something. Well, look, we all went to school with that kid who couldn't control his bladder all the way up to, like, fourth grade. There was always one kid in your class. And it didn't happen a lot, but, like, you know, whatever. You'd be in math class, and suddenly there's a stench, and it's like, and it's, there's, you know, there's Johnny. And or sometimes it was a girl, but there was a kid that I went to school with, and he had that problem. He must have been, like, 10 or 11 or 12 when it was still happening. And I think it happened occasionally until eventually they just took him and stuck him in a helmet and shipped him off somewhere. They just, like, there's a special school for you, son. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, New York is doing it, so is Starbucks. Could Portland be next to ban trans fats in restaurants?
I'm tired of hearing about this.
You'll hear more about it later.
Well, no, we can continue. Not from you. No. I tire of nothing from you. I'm talking about the mainstream media. I thought it was Starbucks everywhere. I thought it was a company thing. And they all, like Starbucks as a company, got rid of it. Is it just New York, though?
No. Well.
So confused.
I am, too. What is it that you're asking?
What is trans fat in? What is trans fat?
We had Ed McCarthy on about it yesterday, and I still don't know the answer. It's bad. I know it's a bad thing.
It's bad.
So easy, it's...
They cook things in it. It's animal fat.
It's... No, that's not true. Animal fat is what it replaced. Trans fat is vegetable fat, which sounds healthier.
It does.
But it's not. Trans fat is vegetable fat, which replaced animal fat. You would think animal fat would be worse for you. But as I understand it, now maybe I'm wrong about this. It's not like it would be unknown.
Now I'm baffled about this.
See, I believe that trans fat is vegetable fat, and it was introduced to replace beef tallow, beef fat. But trans fat, the vegetable fat, ironically turned out to be even worse for you. That's what I think is going on here. The vegetable fat turned out to be even worse than the cow fat. And so now they're making us get rid of it, which just seems stupid. We're all going to die of cancer anyway. You're going to be riddled in tumors, and your spine's going to fall out. That's just the way it is. That's how it's going to end for you. Me, you, everybody. Except for Tim. Tim will outlive us all with a brand-new shiny metallic body. He stomps around town, decimating buildings and breathing fire. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. My thing is...
Well, I had more questions about trans fats.
They're getting rid of trans fats, but... My thing is, I thought Starbucks as a whole company was doing it, but is it just Starbucks on a state-by-state basis? Do we know?
No, all of Starbucks is doing it.
All of Starbucks everywhere.
Starbucks is all about being uniform, so I wouldn't see, you know, some stores doing
it. That makes sense. So the crux of this story is to ban it citywide, not just Starbucks.
Okay, so Starbucks as a company is getting rid of it, but additionally, cities are getting rid of it everywhere.
That is correct.
Like in New York. Well, Portland will totally follow it because we're a bunch of granola crunchers.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. Speaking of,
next they're going to make us all have wireless hi-fi.
Wireless hi-fi.
I hope they wire the suburbs soon.
Yes. Please, would you... Please now to be putting some swinging sounds on the wireless hi-fi. Put some Escovel on the wireless hi-fi.
Oh, Tony Bennett.
The thing about that anyway. So trans fats are going to kill you, I guess. But whatever. I mean, I just can't express the level to which I don't care about it. Scotty is noting this is the perfect time now more than ever that it's the perfect time for the Starbucks song. I don't have the Starbucks song here. Wait, do I have it?
We built this Starbucks. We built this Starbucks on high.
There you go. Thank you. And I don't really care. Here's why I care about that. Scotty's now the program director. Now take calls while it plays. You know, Scotty...
He could open up his own consulting business.
No, I'm one step ahead of you, Tim Riley.
How are you?
Hey, Scotty, would you like a position... Would you like a position in which you can double your income? Would you like to perhaps have a form, Scotty, in which you can... Look, Scotty is typing in, you should try these ideas sometimes. Scotty, I have a fantastic... Scotty, could you come in here for just a second? Let's see, if you can just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
Thank you.
Hi, Scotty J, how are you?
Good morning,
you're typing,
Rick Emerson.
See, afternoon.
Feels like morning.
Let's talk about the clock. Let's talk about the simple concept of AM and PM.
Yeah.
Then we'll move on to simple mathematics. Okay, so you typed on the screen, now you should take lots of calls while this plays.
That would have been funny, but you revealed the curtain again. You revealed what's behind the curtain.
And I failed to do that. I failed to take your advice for a better program. Then you typed, you should try these ideas sometimes. So would you like to have a forum in which you can, perhaps get more of these ideas done and accomplished, perhaps mold a program with a little freer of a hand than you do now?
What are you talking about?
Weekend talk show.
I have an exciting weekend talk show that might need a producer. Now, I'm not talking about the gymnasium. I have an exciting talk show that's been pitched to me repeatedly and relentlessly by someone who doesn't bathe. Now, that show is going to need a brain trust, Scotty. That show is going to need...
Did you hire that person?
No.
That person is sending me emails now.
Really?
With suggestions for guests.
So, Scotty, what I'm going to do is I'm going to... And this person is constantly, in addition to pitching me a terrible, terrible program, they're constantly asking for input, which I then give, and which is then rejected. But maybe this person just isn't hearing this advice from someone that they respect. Maybe this person needs input from someone else. Maybe they need a fresh perspective on their completely unmarketable and repellent talk show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this person your email address.
Okay.
And I'm going to have them get in touch with you.
And so I have to maybe listen to a demo of what they have and then tell them what I think.
Yeah, and I'm sure...
You're going to need a title, too.
Yeah. And they're going to have lots of questions forever and ever and ever, probably 3, 4, 5 times a day about what to do with this program and how it might be better.
Their program.
The program that I'm referring to, yes. So I'm going to have this person get in touch with you.
That's great.
Okay. Thanks, Scotty.
All right,
there you go. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733. He'll never suggest anything again.
That'll teach him to make suggestions.
Anywho, you know, that's like two birds, one stone right there. Boy, that's fantastic. That's like several problems I just took care of at once. I don't understand the thing about trans fats, but it doesn't really matter. Again, because it's trans fats and Tim Savage made this point. Trans fats are like eggs. Remember how, like, they can never figure out whether eggs are good for you or not. You know, eggs are good, eggs are bad, eggs are good, eggs are bad. I really have no idea whether eggs are good or bad. He was pointing that out, and it's true. I still, like, right now, if you were to put a gun in my hand and say, are eggs good for you or bad for you, go. What's the answer? Sarah, do you know?
What's wrong with you?
Do you know whether eggs are good or bad for you?
I think egg whites are good for you.
I'm saying like an egg. If I was to cook up and hold it, crack, sizzle, whatever, regardless of whether you like it.
The thing that comes out of the back of the chicken.
Yeah, crack it, cook it, give it to you. Good or bad?
It's good for you.
See, but
it doesn't have very many calories.
I don't know, but it's full of fat and cholesterol.
But in, and like protein goodness, though, right?
Yeah, but But I mean, it's also full
of a piece of toast.
It's full of grease and so forth. I'm just saying, it's like that whole thing about the birth control pill. Gives you cancer, doesn't give you cancer. Gives you a third eye in your forehead. Prevents a third eye in your forehead. They never really figure it out.
But who's the one who decided to eat the eggs? I mean, obviously somebody was looking at a chicken laying an egg one day and decided, why don't I eat these? Well, all the things that are around here.
That's pretty gross when you think about it.
I'm going to eat this thing that came out of a chicken's backside. And it's
so
running.
So who made the decision to do that?
Well, I ask that all the time about beer. Mm-hmm. Because beer, you think about it, beer would never occur, like you would never consciously create beer. Beer almost had to have been discovered by accident.
Yes.
And the theory is that there were, not potholes, but sort of concavities, like holes in the road. The theory is that wheat or some similar thing fell into a hole in the ground, was rained on, and then went bad, fermented. And then someone said, why, behold yonder fermented vat of crap. I shall drink this. And I will keep it. Now I have a headache and I am vomiting. I will continue to drink this on Fridays while eating jerky, you know, and watching Gladiators. I don't understand how beer ever came to be not created, because, again, it happened by accident. I don't understand how beer came to be consumed. Why would you ever drink some moldy water you found in a hole somewhere? Doesn't make any sense at all. So there you go. So I guess avoid trans fats or don't. It doesn't matter. The government's going to do the thinking for you anyway, and I don't mean that as a paranoid guy. I'm just, it really doesn't matter what I or you or anybody thinks about trans fats. The government will decide whether we can have them or not, just like cigarettes. The important thing to note about this whole story is that coffee people is going away as of today. Today, their final day. Final. Gone, gone, gone. Gone, daddy gone. So today we bid a fond farewell to coffee people.
Did the signs change?
Well, some of them are already closed, and the signs are just gone.
Oh.
The coffee people on 36th and Powell, I know today is their last day, and I think it's the last day for the store everywhere, period. The coffee, because the one downtown is gone that
it's
I used to go to
for a while.
Yeah, the one by Camera World, I had no idea that one vanished. I used to go to that one all the time. So today is the final day for coffee people to go, and I know that they've been owned by another company, like
for
in California,
year.
For a long time. But what, that's not the point. The point is that it's going to be one more place where I have to buy Starbucks. And I'm not some guy that hates Starbucks on principle. They've just got bad coffee. And now I will not be able to get the coffee that I want.
It clears you right out, though.
Starbucks?
Yeah.
Sort of like castor oil?
Yes.
Sort of like...
Drain over the pancreas.
Really, I think the Starbucks coffee is just the result of a bet somewhere where they were sitting around a boardroom table and they...
in the hole in the road.
They just wanted to decide to see if we would drink something. Like, what is this? Well, it's bits of burned up tire and we're going to strain some mud through it and then we're going to serve it for $5 and we're going to see if people... That's it, man. I don't mean to be another hack guy making fun of Starbucks. That's why I don't do the stupid, what is a venti? You know, I don't do that dumb joke because that's been done. And again, I don't hate Starbucks. Sarah worked there. I know many people have worked there, had nothing but good things to say about them as a company, as an employer. Many of their high-end beverages are pretty tasty. I'm just saying they're coffee. And when I say coffee, it's what Dennis Leary would refer to as the coffee-flavored coffee. It's just the regular house coffee is bad. It's bad. It's so bad that my wife believes that it's actually a scam. She believes that the Starbucks coffee is intentionally bad as a way to subtly manipulate you into paying more for like a Frappuccino because it tastes good. Because the alternative is drink the coffee, which tastes like dirt. It should be dirt. It was ground this morning. Ha! Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the 110th Congress has opened as Democrats take the reins of power in the House and Senate. And guess who led the swearing-in of senators today?
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United
States? Is that John Ashcroft?
No.
Wait, no, hold on. Well, don't tell me.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support...
Dick Cheney.
Yes.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
that
you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter.
Oh, so I'm surprised that the ground beneath him just didn't catch fire. I can't even... It's just so goddamn ridiculous, there's no words. Let's listen to this one more time. Let's listen to Dick Cheney saying these
things. Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God.
Okay.
Well, there you go. No, he's not done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's more.
The chair lays before the Senate the certificates of election of 33 senators selected for six-year terms beginning January 3rd, 2007.
Assume
the
position.
If there be no objection, the reading of the above-mentioned letters and the certificates will be waived, and they will be printed in full in the record.
I really think that they all ought to get a ceremonial paddling as they take that. You know what I mean? Just sort of like a Delta Sigma Chi or whatever the hell that to the Niedermeyer House was. They all have to bend over and have their butts paddled.
That sounds great. So here we have Nancy Pelosi, the nation's first female speaker and the highest ranking woman in the history of the U.S. government.
This is a historic moment, and I thank the leader
for acknowledging. My voice is shrill and irritating. It cuts through your brain like a knife.
This is an historic moment.
It's not. Maybe I don't need this extra cup of coffee that I poured for myself during the break. Have that extra piece of pie. I
have extra trans fat.
I think that there's something in this. I'm getting disproportionately angry about things. Like even by my standards, I'm just going to say this once, real quietly and calmly.
We're heading in a new direction.
It's what the hell was that? It's 1975. What the? Oh, do you have one of those wacky? It's like the old phone on your the old ring on your phone. Okay. It's not an historic. That's wrong, and it makes you sound like a dumbass.
That's, historic?
It's a historic. H is a goddamned consonant, okay?
That would be A-H?
Yeah. When a word starts with a consonant, preceding it, you use an. When a word begins with a vowel, you use... No, I've got it backward now, but you use an. And when it starts... Yeah, I know,
Good
know.
Point, right?
I know. When it starts with a vowel sound, that's when you use an. When it starts with a consonant, you use a. At some point in the last couple of years, everybody became allergic to peanuts, coffee became $5, and everyone started saying an historic. And I think they're doing it just to see if the rest of us will follow along like idiots. That's wrong. It's linguistically incorrect.
This is an historic moment, and I thank the leader for acknowledging.
An historic. An historic. It's wrong.
That's so uncomfortable
it's
to say,
wrong.
Rick.
Yes.
Stop.
So it's a historic.
It's a historic. This is a historic event.
A historic.
Yes. Well, or ah, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. But it's not an.
Yeah, it's just awkward to
you,
say.
You say, I'm going to an opera tonight, because opera is, you know, it starts with an O. It's a vowel. It is not an historic event, and the AP style book and Nancy Pelosi insisting that it's so does not make it goddamn so.
This is an historic moment, and I thank the leader for acknowledging it. Thank you, Mr. Boehner. It's an historic moment for the Congress. It's an historic moment for the women of America.
It's like she's doing it just to screw with me. She said it four times.
Are you jealous because you're not the most important woman in America?
I'm the prettiest, though.
When you have me, I'm have me.
Here's
We shouldn't make
him... Lord, another man.
We shouldn't make him go so far to use the restroom during the break. Who knows what's in the air in that restroom?
I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi accepts the gavel from Minority Leader John Boehner.
Mr. Speaker, I accept this gavel in the spirit of partnership.
What kind of gavel are we talking about? Oh, really? Did she say that? I'm sorry. I stepped on that.
Mr. Speaker, I accept this gavel in the spirit of partnership, not partisanship.
Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi says there were differences between the political parties.
After giving this gavel away in the first two, in the last two Congresses, I'm glad someone else has the honor today. In this House, we may be different parties, but we serve one country.
Okay, she's got to quit that. She's developing verbal tics already in her speaking style. She's a poor public speaker. She's a bad public speaker. You can tell because she sets up everything the same way. The I am partnership, not partisanship. We serve different parties, but we serve one government. It's like a bad catch and release kind of a thing that she does there. All right. Good God. I can't believe she said an historic like 17 times.
Please don't play it again.
Three.
Or three. Here's Tim Riley.
On to me we go.
All right.
John McCain is out there speaking today. He said the election showed that people of the United States did not believe Republicans were meeting their needs.
One of the messages of the election is that American people are not really happy. In fact, they're very unhappy with our lack of addressing their issues. And I think the Democrats realize that now they're in the majority, that they risk being tarred by that brush.
So knowing that, he says we should send more troops to Iraq.
I believe we need substantial and sustained increase so that we can train the Iraqi military and have the Iraqi government take control.
Government.
Yeah, all right, fine. Let's see. Oh, I should get some of these people have been waiting like 3 hours.
Oh, I forgot this is a talk show.
John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick. Hey, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a driver, so I always have you on. Hey, not to take a violent U-turn and go through the guardrail here, but...
I'm sorry? No, please don't do that.
Oh, no. But, you know, you were talking about obscure sitcoms yesterday.
Yes, we were.
Here's one from Chicago area back in the late 60s, early 70s. I know I got a few years on you, but it was called Hazel.
I remember Hazel.
Oh, you do, with Mr. Beasley, and she sounded like George Costanza's mother?
Just a little bit. I mean, real vaguely. I remember that the way I remember, like, I Married Joan. Just very vaguely do I remember that. I think that was on, I think they played Hazel on the CBN network when I was a kid, like with Burns and Allen reruns and stuff sandwiched around it. I do vaguely remember that, yeah.
Yeah, she might have had some ongoings with Mr. B. You know, she called him Mr. B, so maybe they had some intimacy. You know, maybe she did more than just his laundry. Yes. But who knows about that? But she kind of sounded like that Nancy Pelosi tape too.
Oh man, is that a voice that just cuts through your head like a knife through butter?
Yeah.
God, man. Oh, good Lord Almighty! All right, excellent. And so, how long have you been listening to the show, sir?
About 7 years I've been driving, and you know, a lot of times I've been wanting to call, but and I'm so technology challenged that I haven't even been on your website yet, but I love your show. Keep it real. I think you and the Minister of Truth there, Tim, and Scotty J, who's a gamer, hopefully he'll get his break on the weekend show there.
I hope you guys
should do a comedy team or something, really, honestly, and then Sarah could produce it.
Okay. Excellent.
Have a good one.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. You spread the word.
All right. I'm going through it. I keep doing it, Rick. And I'm going through a tunnel here. Click.
Genius. Thank you.
We should do a comedy show. I'm getting tired of this being a drama.
Yes. I'm tired of doing this hard-hitting news program where we convey all the issues of the day with the utmost decorum and seriousness.
I don't think he wanted me to speak.
No.
You can't take that
personally.
You
guys can have a comedy troupe, and Sarah can produce.
Yes.
Whatever that girl's name is.
You can be the costume mistress. Good God. Let's see. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. Coffee people.
Yes.
The airport ones will stay coffee people.
Is that true?
Yep.
Now,
I saw it in the paper, you know, like 3 months ago when the merger or closure was first announced. The airport ones stay the same.
Now, here's why, I mean, I'm not saying that's not right, but here's why that surprises me, because I was at the airport when I had to go to Provo, which was in November, and I asked the coffee people person, the coffee people person. There was a woman working at the coffee people, and I said, hey, you know, how long you guys got? What's up when it becomes a Starbucks? And she's like, oh. Well, this would explain what she didn't know, though. She goes, oh, I quit the day that I found out. So maybe she quit too early.
She may not have understood. Well, it depends. Maybe I got the wrong information from the newspaper. Imagine that.
Maybe. No, it's hard to... Well, see, now I want to know. Because the thing is, they sell that Black Tiger coffee, and I know that you can get it... you'll be able to get it online, and I know the founder has some other place where he sells it, but it'd be nice to, you know...
That's on Fremont, on like 50...
and he sells that Black Tiger blend, which is... That's pretty much all I drink, so...
I have one more thing I'd like to discuss with you briefly.
Sure. Yes.
The word honor, the rule that I've heard about is that if it's a voiced or unvoiced H, determines whether you use an or a.
Yeah, but historic is not a silent H.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. so in the case of historic, you wouldn't need to have the AN there.
I can almost buy it if it's a silent H, like honor, like mm-hmm. this is an honorable honor, event, yeah. because it is essentially a word that starts with a vowel. But
you have to buy it because that's the way it is.
Yeah, because
that's the rule.
Bam.
Keep on breaking the rules.
All right. I can smell what David's cooking. Okay. David, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I bet. Bye-bye.
The caller's very sassy today.
I know.
I can buy that. Don't get me started on silent letters.
Let's break.
Silent letters make me angry. Let's take a break. We'll come back.
Like laugh? How about the GH and laugh? What would you do?
The whole thing. Yeah, silent letter. The whole thing just makes me furious.
You know what word I was looking at today? Colonel. You know, it's C-O-L-O.
Colonel?
Yes.
Yeah.
How did they even come up with that?
They're retarded. You know, phone
Why
is...
Why do people eat eggs?
Phone is spelled Pahone. Doesn't make any sense.
Twins are connected by their hair.
Hello. We'll be back after this with more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. All right, for the love of God. Maybe this is the key to my bladder problem. You know, I'm going to the bathroom like 50 times an hour because I didn't, I went.
Have you not gone again?
I went once in the 11 o'clock hour up on a different floor, and I haven't gone again. I'm just going to wait. Just going to hold it.
You've been drinking quite a bit of coffee, though.
Okay, doesn't matter. I'm just going to hold it to the end of the show.
Were you that boy in class?
Yes. Yeah. No, here's how I was it because we were making fun of the girl, the 12-year-old girl that wet her pants. And now, of course, now it comes out. Subject line, the rest of the story. Rick, I don't believe you read the first sentence. Dateline, Danville, PA, from the Associated Press. A 12-year-old, special education student.
Oh.
We skipped over that part somehow. In Montour County, was charged with disorderly conduct after she wet her pants. Sorry about that. It's 503.
Well, we treat everybody equally.
No, it's true. That's right. Whether you are retarded or not, you are treated as though you are. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Yes? So getting back to this democratically controlled Congress.
Yeah.
And a historic event. White House spokesman Tony Snow says he has high hopes for the new Democrats. Number three.
New Democrats. We think there's an opportunity for this Congress to do a lot. And if some members within the Democratic Party decide that they want to engage in political acts of that sort, we will certainly be prepared.
We will go after them with shovels and pitchforks.
Meanwhile, I'll take a short break from this. Donald Trump says Barbara Walters isn't telling the truth about what she told him about Rosie O'Donnell. Despite Walters' public defense of O'Donnell, Trump claimed that Walters told him in a phone call that hiring O'Donnell for The View was a big mistake and that Walters' public statements are just for show.
Barbara said many things that were very negative and anti-Rosie. Barbara's embarrassed by Rosie. Barbara thinks Rosie's a disaster. Barbara is also somebody that, how can she live with that? How can she possibly say that? So I understand what Barbara's doing.
Boy, you know, I kind of liked that guy again for a while.
Next, he's going to be running around without undergarments being photographed.
Donald Trump screams, look at my vagina. I don't even know why I would say that, but that's funny to me. Because Donald Trump is sort of on a bell curve. No, it's not even that. It's just a thing. Because in the 80s, everybody kind of liked him because he had this book, The Art of the Deal. And he was, he was sort of the it man of the moment back in whenever that was, 89, something like that, 88. And then he kind of was gone. And then he came back and he did The Apprentice, and I sort of liked him again. And I watched The Apprentice for a couple of years. I don't watch it anymore, but I watched it for a few seasons. And I was with that guy. He's like Britney. I was back on the bandwagon, and just like Britney has squandered all of her goodwill, so has Donald Trump. And it's just strange that I would ever be rooting for Rosie O'Donnell on anything. So, but here I am.
All right, it's Tim Riley. So here we are.
Are we back on Bank A?
We are with some fresh ones here.
Dan, fantastic. I'm loaded.
Well, there's more support for Nancy Pelosi today. Singer Tony Bennett is at the Capitol to support his friend, the first female Speaker of the House.
I think it's, great history. It's part of something that's never happened in America before, to have a lady in charge. And knowing the lady, I think it's going to be so promising.
Oh, God, he's developing one of those Kissinger voices where you can hear little bits of his trachea falling away.
Just a little bit. He needs a little more practice.
She's originally from Baltimore, but she loves and adores San Francisco. And of course, my signature song is San Francisco. So that's why she invited me here tonight to when they celebrate it tonight. They have me performing.
I was thinking when your time came, maybe you would be the one to pull the strings. Maybe Senator Corleone.
Let's do a cannibal watch.
Here's your... Wait, hold on.
Oh, no, this isn't the worst one ever. Fantastic. This isn't the worst one ever?
No, I got like 9 cannibal watches. That's not even close to being... And this one doubles as a religious nutcase watch.
Wait, hold on a second.
That one?
Yeah, this is the worst story ever, so you should set that aside.
I'll set the bad one aside.
Let's do the other one. This one is a cannibal watch slash religious nutcase watch. Here we go. Immigrant was suffering from a mental illness when he carried out a horrific cannibal attack on a pensioner. Jehovah's Witness Jan Umatak bit off part of Doug Morgan's right thumb and swallowed it while laughing hysterically. He also tore chunks out of the 76-year-old's face. And while doing so, shouted, "This is for Jesus."
Jesus can get his own food, thank you.
He had been earlier seen carrying a Bible and ranting at lampposts and trees.
Hello, lamppost! What you knowin'? I must kill everyone!
Slovakian Umatek also crept into neighbor Don Wood's house and shouted at her in tongues for nearly an hour before a male friend ordered him out. Why didn't he call 911?
You know, I mangled that joke, by the way, too.
I know, I went right by it.
No, I should have, that joke, I could do that better. Do you want to take another run at it? I can do that joke better now. Let's go back and do the ranting, the part about ranting at lampposts and trees. I can do that joke more efficiently.
All of you yelling?
Yes. He had earlier been seen carrying a Bible and ranting at lampposts and trees.
Hello, lamppost. What you knowing? I come to watch your flowers growing.
And to kill! Umatek also attacked Doug at his home in Hereford last July.
That's funny.
After leaping through an open window as the pensioner and his wife, Valerie, were going to bed. The chicken factory worker... who was being monitored for depression, was arrested at the home.
Not monitored closely enough, apparently.
Mm-hmm. They have a rather lax monitoring system. What country is this in? I think this is Britain. Yeah, it was Britain.
All right.
It was an immigrant that caused trouble, they all do.
I love the idea that as he's eating chunks out of the pensioner's face, he is letting him know that this is for Jesus. As though that's just going to make it go down a little easier, so to speak. Fantastic. There you go. There's your cannibal watch for whatever the hell for... we'll do the other one later. Thursday. Pretend that didn't happen. Have a big dinner, have a light snack. Just if you don't like it, you can't send it back. Just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beer. Oh, Lord. All right. Rick. About grammar things. What the F is up with the Brits pronouncing lieutenant as leftenant? I don't understand that either, frankly. That word, the letter's not even in there. What is the leftenant-lieutenant thing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
In Britain, it's not... In Britain, they don't say, like, lieutenant whatever in the army. They say lieutenant, which makes no sense at all. But you're right. That's like the colonel thing. Yeah, that's got to be French, though. The fact that colonel, like Colonel Sanders, is spelled colonel. That's got to be...
No, it's just called KFC.
When I lived in London, I would get confused, too, because things would be spelled like Gloucester, but it was Gloucester.
That's Gloucester. How they'd
be. Yeah, Gloucester.
See, we do that, too, though. Well, not we.
We have the same cities named after these places, especially Massachusetts.
That's true. Well, yeah, and in Massachusetts, everything is named after the goddamn French, right?
No, English.
And English. Well, there's a lot of now...
If you go further north into Canada, into Quebec and Maine...
That's true.
If you go northern, let's see, Maine, New Hampshire... And Vermont, it's all French.
Yeah, that's true. Because you guys are all with, like, yeah, New England. I guess that makes sense. So, but there's all of that. But we do the same thing. And by we, I mean Indians, do the same thing where they're just...
I didn't know you were an Indian.
What
tribe might you belong to?
There's a joke there.
I know.
I don't know. If I was a funnier man, I'd have a witty response to that. But tribe. Yeah, I got nothing. But they like Snoqualmie. which, you know, Snoqualmie and there's like, the, what was that other city? There's another city in Washington State where it seems like it's missing letters. Like, there's either letters that
all
aren't...
All those crazy rivers that are always flooding?
Totally. There's letters that either seem like they should be there or letters that are there that seem like they shouldn't be. But, yeah, so whatever. Anyway, let's see. Blah, 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 lieutenant. I think it is French, actually. And then he says, what about Les Miserables? How the hell do you have three silent letters in a single word? leave it to the cheese-eating surrender monkeys to marble mouth like no one else. That is true. The Les Miserables thing, or ensemble, instead of ensemble, that always does puzzle me. It just doesn't make any sense when you're... Like, at some point, somebody had to construct the word, right? Like, somebody had to build it. Like, I need a word for that thing over there. Let us call it an ensemble. And let us add the multiple letters at the end that we never pronounce. And, you know, it's... Well, whatever. Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
Well, in observance of the third annual World Hypnotism Day, which is today, for some reason, local hypnotism professionals are scheduling a stress release night Friday.
You will attend our performance. You will attend our performance.
The event hosted by the Wavelengths of Hypnotherapy is scheduled to run from 6:30 to 8. There's an optional $5 donation to a local food bank. With New Year's resolutions facing us, the time is perfect for World Hypnotism Day.
Where is this happening?
In Maine.
Oh, I won't be attending. So, there, can I see that for a second?
Certainly.
There ought to be like a hip-hop-gnosis. Maybe not. Blah, 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 third annual World Hypnotism. Who even knew that there was a World Hypnotism Day?
I didn't.
Local hypnotism professions have scheduled a stress release. That's also a money release, the program, I would think. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, there seems like there should be something here I can make fun of, but I really don't want to.
Hypnotism is one of those things that...
Hypnotism makes me angry.
So, I don't like to think about it too much, because the whole thing just pisses me off.
Hypnotism... Who wants to know why hypnotism makes me angry? Here's why. Hypnotism makes me angry because, like, I just want to hold hypnotists down and burn them with hot things until I can figure out whether it's a scam or not. That's the thing. I just want to like lock them up in a laboratory somewhere and then poke them with needles until they figure out whether it's real. It just makes me angry. It's
some
like,
people can become hypnotized.
Have you become hypnotized?
No, but I was at the...
See, everybody's been at a party where some guy was hypnotized.
But,
well, like, both people I know have been.
My roommate, she just had one drink, so I can't blame it on the drink, was hypnotized by a hypnotist at a hypnotist gathering.
A hypnotist gathering?
Yeah. What would you call a hypnotist event? A hypnosium? A hypnasium?
You're listening to the hypnasium on...
Well, this hypnotist
like a conference?
I almost just want to go out on that because it's hilarious.
Well, he was performing upon the stage doing hypnotism.
A hypnosium.
What would you call the event itself?
A hypnosium sounds like some sort of a medical procedure where they take parts of your ass and make a different face out of it. No, his nose has been terribly mangled. We're going to have to perform a triple hypnosium. Suture. To your roommate, they take her up on stage.
She was at a table. They
okay.
were several tables back, and they were hypnotizing people on stage, and all of a sudden, I realized that she was hypnotized.
Maybe she was just asleep or bored or something.
No, she was hypnotized.
What did she do? What did they make her do?
They made people just sit there and stare forward.
I do that all day. You do that through a lot of the program.
Well, I am thinking...
Well, so your evidence that she was hypnotized is that she was just kind of sitting there doing nothing.
Right, and she was totally oblivious to what... She was obviously not... Well, she used to be a very talkative young lady, and all of a sudden she was silently just staring ahead.
But after the hypnotism, never again?
Well, no, just during that event.
Did she do anything?
I don't really know that this is scientific evidence. I don't really know that this is incontrovertible proof.
They didn't make her, like... Cluck like a chicken.
See, no, there was no chicken clucking during this.
At the hypnosium.
No, at the hypnosium.
A hypnosium sounds like a fantastic club that I wouldn't be allowed into.
Perhaps I'm expressing this wrong.
I think it's hilarious that, like, the evidence is that nothing happened. And so, therefore, well, she sat there.
Right.
And it was an uneventful evening.
This person was always talking around the phone, trying to bribe people out of money.
Maybe she... Does she want a weekend show? Well, okay.
I don't know. You could call her.
I don't know where to go with that. Okay. Let's see.
Hypnosium?
I'm just saying that everybody, like, knows somebody.
Right.
But, like, I've never met
a
person.
You have to have that kind of personality where you can be hypnotized.
Yeah, I'd never be.
Do you just have to be a simpleton? I mean,
yes,
I hate to insult your friend.
No, she is a simpleton.
What with all her blank staring and so forth. Hello, how are you? You know, no, Mary, do you want a drink? What? Let's see here. Roger, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
You know, a while ago you was talking about words that sound like they would be pronounced like something else,
yes,
but they're not.
Yes, I were.
Okay, Squim Washington?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
That looks like sequin.
And the Sioux Indians were renamed. Well, they was Lakota, but they were renamed as Sioux. And the Nez Perce were also renamed. Nez Perce is a French name. But I forget what they was. But
I think I've been hypnotized.
You've been awful quiet.
I'm just staring ahead blankly. No, you're right. Squib, you're right. And it looks exactly like Sequim and Snoqualmie.
That messed me up at first, you know.
Yes. Yes, it did. I can imagine that you were quite puzzled by that.
Yeah.
It did. I remember having a hell of a time reading that when I was...
Okay. Well, that's all I had to say, so...
Entree, we're losing your phone.
Yeah.
Well, he did make some valid points. About the Indian named Sue.
Dear sir, I find your ideas intriguing. I would like to subscribe to your newsletter. Here's Tim Riley.
Well... One Hollywood couple has officially joined their lives together for the new year. It's been confirmed that comedian Jay Moore and actress Nikki Cox married over the weekend. Her representative tells People magazine that the pair sent their IDOS in Los Angeles on Friday. Oh, IDOS, I'm sorry.
This is that Moore Cox news I've been waiting for.
Yep. The couple met at the NBC show Las Vegas when Moore made a guest appearance in February. And then he proposed. Moore had been previously married to actress Nicole Chamberlain. Nobody cares about any of these people. They divorced in 2004 and have one child named Jackson together. Cox had previously been...
No.
They have to join their names.
They had been dating for a while. And I like Nikki Cox. She's very hot. I like Jay Moore. He's a funny guy. He's a smart guy. I was really pulling for them, and so I was hoping to see Moore Cox.
Well, these are the Moore Cox.
Everyone's been waiting for the Moore Cox wedding.
Well, Miss Cox was previously engaged to comedian Bob Goldthwait.
If you don't know who Bobcat Goldthwait is, for a minute there, it just sounds like this show was hosted by a mongoloid.
It has too many letters to that name.
No.
She was engaged to Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yeah. Clearly, we don't need Cox Goldthwait news in lieu of more Cox. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Jay Moore, Nikki Cox. Married. She's not as hot as she was, though. I saw her face. Her face is kind of going down.
Ooh, she's all, like, melty looking. Weird. She looks kind of like she's morphing into Terry Hatcher.
Oh, I can totally see that. Her lips are staying the same size, though, but her head's getting smaller. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, that's sad. That's unfortunate.
Maybe she's been in the steam room too long.
Yeah, that's sad. I really do like Jay Moore, though. I don't know him, obviously. He seems like a legitimately good guy. He's a funny guy. Not funny on SNL, ever. Not once. Not once was he funny on Saturday Night Live. He's a funny actor.
Nothing's funny on Saturday Night Live.
Almost nothing.
Chevy Chase was funny for a few episodes in 1976 when he was making fun of Gerald Ford. Oh, we're not supposed to make fun of that.
Oh, no, we can totally make fun of Gerald Ford. Not going to fall into anything now,
well,
are
back
you?
Back when he was alive.
Good night, folly man. Back on Bob Goldthwait for a second. If you didn't know who Bobcat Goldthwait was, it really sounded like the host of this program was just functionally retarded. When I was just kind of going... Because I don't even think he talks that way anymore, does he? Does Bob...
I haven't heard him talk in like 20 years.
No.
I don't think he's been in public.
Where would you, Kent? Is there a place where you can even do that? I wonder if I had $100,000 right now, I wonder if there's a place I could go to hear Bobcat Goldthwait. God, to think that there was a time when that guy was a rising star in American comedy. This country is stupid.
About the same time as Judy Tenuta.
Oh, man, this is my plant, Robert. God, Judy Tenuta. Judy Tenuta, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. You know who she's married to?
No.
Emo Phillips.
No, they deserve each other.
I mean, it's Emo Phillips, another guy that I'm... another guy that
there was
I'm,
just a glut of very unfunny people.
The 80s were a bad time. They were the best. I've done this little riff before. But they were the best and worst of times. The 80s were a good time for comedians. They were a bad time if you were a fan of comedy. Because every comedian had a job, which means that if you were a comic, you were employed. If you were a fan, though, everything was bad. Everything was bad because it was Bob and Bobcat Goldthwait, whose entire shtick, his entire act, was getting up and said, and like people in the audience going, "Why? I paid $55 for this. Why? What's going on?" That and goddamn Andrew Dice Clay, who really, boy, just thank God that guy's gone away forever.
And they kept trying to bring him back.
Oh, God, repeatedly in that horrible sitcom with Kathy Moriarty.
He belongs parking cars in Studio City.
Seriously, he belongs on a rocket that's being shot into the sun. That's where that guy belongs. How sad that Sam Kinison dies and Andrew Dice Clay is still making money in Las Vegas. It's not a fair world. And then Judy Tenuta. And Emo Phillips and Julie Brown, West Coast Julie Brown, not downtown Julie Brown. And then blah da da blah da blah da blah. I don't even know where I'm going with this, but the point is Jay Moore is really funny. And I didn't really watch Last Comic Standing, but I almost did. And the only reason I almost did is because of him. He is a funny guy. And so forth. Well, Todd the Corpse really has the definitive word, by the way, on this, on the pronunciation of things.
Come on!
He says, we can't give too many people guff about how they pronounce things. Everyone in Portland insists on pronouncing it cooch instead of the obvious couch, which I have complained about forever.
What about a washer?
Oh, God, don't.
After.
Hello, your microphone is off.
I am a moron. I thought Cooch was named after somebody, like that's somebody's last name.
He says it drives me insane, and I've heard that the actual family who it's based on pronounced it couch, so that's not even the reason. He said, I think Portland just decided to pronounce it Cooch on a dare. It's awkward, isn't it? Have you ever had somebody from out of town? And I don't want to take this bit too long, but have you ever had somebody from out of town driving around with you and you're having to, like, give out loud directions? And it's a whole lot of...
Taking left on Cooch?
Yeah. We're going to go, we're just going to go straight up Cooch. And then, and they kind of give you that look, they raise eyebrow and you go, right there. And they go, couch. And you go, no. Maybe you say couch.
Well,
I say Cooch.
It's like in New York where it's Houston and not Houston, even though that's how it's spelled.
Houston? Where do they say Houston? What are you talking about?
Houston.
Houston what?
In New York City. It's a street there.
And it's spelled Houston, and they call it Houston?
It's Houston.
Yeah, and you don't even want to get me started on the Washington thing. People who say Washington should be killed. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You are very angry.
It's that... You want to talk about something. Look, is there any bigger marker that you are a redneck hick than saying Washington? If you want to talk about... I don't care how smart you are. You could have a post... You could have a doctorate. It doesn't matter. If you say Washington... No one can see your IQ. They look at you and they hear banjo music in their head and they see you in bib overalls, no shirt, one strap undone. I don't care. You could be saying this. You could be saying, well, we need to realize that many of the problems that plague the Islamocentric world really can't be resolved by many of the solutions that seem to come from the secularist ideas that come out of Washington, D.C. You could be saying that.
Did he just say that?
Here's what they're hearing. I have sex with my sister.
Which way did the seaman pull?
That's what they hear in their head when you talk. Quit saying, the next time someone says Washington, I want you to kick them repeatedly in the scrotum. Over and over again.
What if they don't have one?
let's use your own judgment there. Just so long as they can't have stupid children of their own.
Too late.
you're right. I don't think I'm going to take this call, Scotty. Do you remember we had that listener named Cox?
Yes.
We have and it's true, his first name is Cox, C-O-X. A caller is calling to suggest that blah, 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 the name of our next listener party, blah, 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 blah. I think we've sailed that ship about as far as we're going to sail that.
Yeah.
These waters have become a
shark infested.
Yeah, so we're gonna move on, but thank you. But I will give you this, just for the... I kind of know where you were going there. Thank you, sir. It's 503-733-2970. We're running behind, but it doesn't really matter. Let's do one more here.
Well, all right. Authorities are trying to identify a mysterious metallic object that crashed through the roof of a house in eastern New Jersey. Nobody was injured when the golf ball-sized object weighing nearly as much as a can of soup struck the home and embedded itself in a wall. Federal officials sent to the scene said it was not from an aircraft. This is a resurfaced object with a metallic glint.
Glint. So this is where?
New Jersey.
And it's a piece of metal that fell out of the sky?
That's correct,
well,
yes.
Well, it probably isn't, like, is it part of an airplane or something?
It doesn't. No, it says it's not part of an airplane.
Is it a rock? Is it
not part of a rock.
Where is it now?
It is a rock-like object.
I think a rock-like object is just a rock. I mean, that's like if I said this is a dirt-like substance. Well, it's just dirt.
It is a metallic rock-like object about the size of a golf ball.
So it's just a meteorite.
It looks like a baked potato wrapped in aluminum foil.
Okay.
Which is probably what it is.
Is this really big news in New Jersey? Are they
apparently
really
so, yes.
Everybody's really...
It's mysterious. Very mysterious. Robert Brightman.
Lieutenant.
It's rather unusual. I've never seen anything like it in my career. He had hoped that the object would be identified within 72 hours, but 72 hours has elapsed. It has not yet been named.
I'm going to sit down here so we can read this entire story. All like 50 paragraphs of it.
Now, this has been sent to a laboratory and a... Well, it'll be, they'll have a, well, they'll decide whether or not this is a meteorite. It's heavier than the usual metal object of its size. It is not radioactive. At least no radioactivity has been detected
it's
yet.
It's a rock!
It looks like a baked potato. It's definitely not an aircraft part. I can't speak beyond that of what it might be, said the lieutenant.
Lieutenant.
In the neighborhood later in the day, residents chatted to each other about the falling object.
And then someone filed off the corns from her feet.
55-year-old Robert Nalvin said, "Nothing this exciting has happened in the 6 years he's lived in this development. I'm just happy it didn't hit my house."
We ain't never seen no rocks around here before. Are we done with the story?
That's it, yes.
Geordi Verrill, you idiot. All right, and so forth. Hi, are people calling about the rock?
They are.
Yeah. All right. Let's see who this. See what these.
There could be
calling.
More than one.
Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Time right now.
Well, I don't know. Let's check. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I am.
Am I answering back?
Yes, you are.
Bingo.
Hey, that sounds great. Listen,
okay.
I just wanted to say Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago, he was on CSI. He was doing his same stand-up act from 20 years ago. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, he got to hook up with Nikki Cox, and then, it's hard to make a business, make a living in show business, I guess. So, I mean, if you find something that works, I guess, God love you, stick with it. I can't begrudge a man his success, but it really is retarded and not funny in any way.
Well, and I'll tell you, the one thing that's pretty cool about that episode, he turns out to be the murderer.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Imagine that Bobcat Goldthwait killing you would be a bad way to go. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rick.
All right. That's Matt. No, see, Scotty, this is a... Okay, Sarah, I know that there's a thing, and Tim, this is a thing that's not going to work well for the audience. I want you to read the description of line three. Read the description of the call waiting for me in line three.
Yeah, no, Chad.
Tim?
No, but thank you for your input.
See, I want to introduce
just
Scotty
letting
little...
you know is all, Rick.
I want to introduce you to a little concept called screening.
Wah, wah, wah.
Scotty,
what is he typing?
There's a street that I always call Couch Street, but apparently it is Cooch Street. And as
it is not Couch. It's named after somebody named Cooch.
Todd the Corpse claims the family pronounced it Couch. I would like to find now a definitive...
But my friend David Krause says that Wikipedia says John H. Cooch, it was pronounced Cooch.
Yeah, but that's Wikipedia. That's just edited by a bunch of speed freaks that are up late at night playing Warcraft. I mean, really...
What do you think? It's a running joke that's just blasted for years and years? It's not Couch.
This program's been on for years and years, and it's just one long, stupid observation after another. I don't know. I mean, I'm just... It's just weird. It's although I mean, and we're not going to let this turn into another. I knew a girl named Candy Bar. We're not, but I will. I will.
We've already done that.
No, I'm stopping that right here. It's not going to be a huge ass here. I'm looking for Amanda Hug and Kiss. Amanda Hug and Kiss. No, but my dad knew a guy, his name was D-E-A-T-H, Death. But, of course, he did the stupid thing of, like, no, it's pronounced Deeth, you know, the Frankenstein thing. And it's so, I'm just saying, those people are out there. But that's
what about Gleason? Stop. It's spelled Glisten.
It's not spelled Glisten. I believe it is spelled. We have to stop this now.
Yeah,
now.
We've got a break.
Let's do one more, and then we'll break. Cecil, hello.
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 Hey, Rick, you know, if the median is 100, you got to remember half the world has a two-digit IQ.
Yes, that is true. Scotty's having the screen. He said meat. Aha. He really didn't. But that makes it even funnier. I don't think... Is 100 the actual median IQ, or do they... I don't think it works the way the temperature works. I think the average IQ is actually lower than that. Isn't the average IQ like 95 or something?
Oh, it might be.
Depends on which study you go to and which scale they use, but... You know, genius can be anywhere from 130 to 145. The other end of the scale, of course, we've got those people who would prefer to be shredded than perforated.
Yeah.
I think those numbers are wrong.
No, and this brings
up... If I was a genius, I don't think I'd be on this...
Oh, you'd have chosen a better career. All right, thank you, Cecil. No, we're losing. Thank you. And we're done. All right.
Now what happened?
That brings up all that unpleasantness of the IQ test, which we never took. All right, let's move on. It's 503-733-2970. I don't even know what we're going to do. Well, I wanted to do this thing about the top stories of 2006. Maybe we'll do that when we get back. 503-733-2970.
Oh, we're also having Smokey on.
Oh, are we? When is that happening? Oh, are they? When are we doing that?
We can probably do that right when we get back.
Hurrah! It's my best day ever. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show.